Okay, let's get into it. We need to talk about the number eight.
$8.
Specifically, $8. Because OpenAI has, I mean, they've effectively just dropped a bomb on the entire tech ecosystem. And for once, the headline isn't some robot that can solve quantum physics. It's a price tag. They've launched ChatGPT Go, a new subscription for $8 a month. And honestly, looking at the specs, this feels less like a product launch and more like a declaration of war.
Oh, it absolutely is. It's a defensive maneuver, and frankly, it's the move the whole industry has been waiting for them to make.
I think so.
For the last year, OpenAI has had this glaring vulnerability, this gaping hole.
The price gap. It had to be the price.
Exactly. You had this bizarre binary world. You either paid $20 a month for the Plus plan.
Which is a luxury subscription, let's be real.
It is. That's like Netflix Premium and Spotify combined. Or you were stuck on the free tier, and the free tier has been, well, it's been getting squeezed.
Squeezed is putting it mildly. I felt it myself.
Yeah.
You use the free version, you get maybe five or six really good answers, and then bam,
Yeah.
you get kicked down to the quote dumb model, or you hit a capacity wall. Meanwhile, you've got Google, Gemini, and Claude just giving away the farm.
They're poaching users with these incredibly generous free tiers with really fast models. They were basically stealing the entire casual user base right from under OpenAI's nose.
So this is about defense.
It's not just about offering a discount. This is about ecosystem lock-in. OpenAI realized they were losing the next generation: students, freelancers, people in developing markets.
People who were growing up with Gemini as their default AI.
Because $20 was just too high a barrier to even consider.
It's the Spotify strategy, then. You turn AI from this big decision, can I afford this fancy tool this month, into a utility bill.
That's the term for it, the utility concept.
$8 is low enough that you just, set it and forget it. It's like your water bill.
Precisely. If they can get you paying $8, you stop looking at competitors. You're in their world. And since this launched globally this week, we could be looking at a massive flood of new paid users.
Okay, but this is where I get skeptical. I'm always wary when a tech company slashes a price by more than half, because it usually means they're slashing the features by more than half, too. You get the light version and it's just full of missing buttons.
Sure.
So let's audit this. What does $8 actually buy you? Is this the good stuff or is this the bargain bin AI?
It's surprisingly robust. But first, we have to kind of correct how people think about these models. The Go tier gives you unlimited access to something called GPT-4o Mini.
See, okay, stop right there. Mini?
I know.
That word worries me. It sounds small, less intelligent. Am I paying for a lobotomized AI?
No, and this is where the branding is a little tricky. Don't think of it as smart versus dumb. Think of it more like specialist versus generalist. Or even better, think of it as the difference between an executive assistant and a research professor.
I like that analogy. Go on.
The mini models, like this one, are optimized for speed, for efficiency. They are not trying to derive the theory of relativity. They're designed to summarize a PDF, write an email, debug a Python script. And because they're smaller, they are fast, blisteringly fast.
And that is a huge factor. I use the big heavy models on the Plus plan, and sometimes you are waiting.
You see the cursor blink.
You can almost hear the gears turning while it thinks. It just breaks your flow.
Exactly. With the Go tier, that wait time, that latency, it's gone. It feels instant.
So it changes how you use it?
It changes the psychology of it. It stops feeling like you're consulting this grand oracle and starts feeling like you're just using a calculator. It's snappy.
And for most things, people actually use ChatGPT for.
Like, rewrite this email, summarize my notes, give me your recipe.
You don't need the professor, you need the assistant.
It's a workhorse,
Yeah.
an absolute beast for productivity. And unlike the free tier, you don't hit that wall. You're not getting kicked down to an old model after 10 messages.
It's unlimited access to that high-speed engine.
Unlimited.
And you get priority access too, right? Because nothing kills my vibe more than that at capacity message at 9 in the morning.
Right. With Go, you jump the queue, you go right past all the free users. So you're paying for reliability as much as you're paying for the model itself.
Okay, solid, fast engine, I get that.
Look.
But there was one feature that really jumped out at me. I think this is the sleeper hit of the whole package.
The voice mode.
The advanced voice mode.
Oh, yeah. This is a massive value proposition.
I was just, doing the math on this. If you're learning a language, say Spanish, you hire a human tutor. You're paying what, 30, $40 an hour?
Easily, maybe more. And that's for a scheduled slot, maybe once a week.
Exactly. With this $8 plan, you get that low latency emotive voice mode. It sounds human. It breathes. It laughs.
It pauses.
You can have a conversation with it in Spanish for 2 hours a day, every single day, for $8 a month.
It's basically democratizing high-level language immersion. And that emotive part is so crucial. This isn't the old robot text-to-speech.
No.
This model picks up on your tone. If you sound frustrated, it softens its voice. If you're excited, it matches your energy. That feedback loop for a language learner is just incredible.
It's a native-level tutor that never gets tired and costs less than a sandwich.
There's that utility concept again. If you see it as a chatbot, $8 is a subscription. If you see it as a language tutor, the return on investment is, well, it's astronomical.
But the voice mode, it needs something else to be truly effective, doesn't it? It has to know who you are. Which brings us to memory.
Right. The Go tier includes the full memory and context features, which is a huge step up from the free tier.
A massive differentiator. The free tier is so transactional. I talk, it answers, then it forgets everything. It's like meeting a total stranger every time I open the app.
Which is fine if you're just replacing a Google search. But it's terrible for a productivity partner. The Go plan actually builds a profile of you.
It remembers.
It remembers that you're a biology student, that you like your summaries and bullet points, that you're writing a sci-fi novel set on Mars.
So I don't have to keep re-prompting it. I don't have to say, act as an editor for my book, because it just knows.
It creates this continuous thread of context. And over time, it starts to feel less like software and more like a personal assistant who actually gets you.
Okay, this all sounds honestly too good to be true. A fast model, unlimited access, the voice mode, memory, for the price of 2 coffees. There has to be a catch.
Oh, there is.
And looking at the notes, it's a big one. One that I think is going to ruffle a lot of feathers.
The ads.
The ads. OpenAI confirmed they're going to test ads in the Go tier to subsidize the cost.
Mm-hmm.
And this brings up a huge philosophical debate, doesn't it? We're used to free with ads or paid with no ads, but now we have this hybrid paid, but you still get ads.
It's the Prime Video model coming to AI. The economics of running these things are still incredibly high. Even the mini models burn a ton of electricity. $8 probably barely covers a heavy user.
So the user becomes part of the product. Again,
you become part of the monetization structure.
What does that even look like, though? Am I going to be chatting about my problems and suddenly the AI is going to read me a script for BetterHelp? Because that would be so dystopian.
It's likely going to be more subtle, more like search. You ask for a travel itinerary to Tokyo. Yeah. Maybe the top hotel recommendation is a sponsored result.
Or you're looking for coding boot camps, and the first one it suggests is a paid placement.
Exactly.
See, that's where it gets tricky for me. The whole promise of these things was that they give you the best answer, the synthesized truth.
Right.
If I'm paying even a little, I want an unbiased answer. If the answer is just who paid the highest bid, isn't the whole tool compromised?
That is the core tension. We are moving from an era of unbiased synthesis to sponsored synthesis.
And for some people, that won't matter. If you're just summarizing notes, an ad won't affect you. But if you're using it for discovery...
What's the best CRM software?
You now have to question the result. Is it the best or just the best payer?
It's the slow creep, the, what's that term? The enchidification of the platform.
Yes. It starts pure and then the ads creep in.
Okay.
And if they're in the $8 tier now, how long until they're in the $20 tier?
That is the slippery slope. But for now, that's the trade-off. You get the power at a discount, but you accept that your attention is being sold.
Okay, so that's the ethical trade-off. What about the technical one? We talked about the mini model. What am I actually losing by not paying the full $20?
You're losing the thinking models. The O1 series, the ones codenamed Strawberry.
Right, the ones that pause and, like, reason.
It goes back to our assistant versus professor analogy. The O1 models use what's called chain of thought processing. They don't just predict the next word. They map out a logic path, they check their own work, and then they give you an answer.
So they're essential for complex math or advanced coding.
Or physics. If you give the Go model a complex logic puzzle, it might just confidently give you the wrong answer instantly.
Because it's just trying to be fast.
It's pattern recognition, not deep reasoning. The plus model will pause for 10 seconds and give you the right answer.
So probably a bad idea to rely on Go for your PhD thesis defense.
A terrible idea.
Yeah.
But using it to proofread your thesis for grammar?
What?
Perfect.
Got it. And no Sora, right? No crazy video generation.
No Sora. That stays premium. And no deep research agents, the ones that could browse the web for an hour to write a report. Go can do a quick fact check, but it's not doing autonomous research.
Fast and efficient, but not deep and creative.
That's the split.
Now, I want to pivot, because I think there's another competitor they are trying to kill with this. Not just Google. The gray market.
The shared account economy.
For anyone who doesn't know, there are sites where you can buy a login for a full ChatGPT Plus account for like $2 or $3.
It's a shared login. You and maybe 4 or 5 other people are all using the same account. It's incredibly common in some parts of the world, but it's a nightmare.
It's tempting, though. I mean, $2 for all the $20 features. Why wouldn't you?
Well, let's talk about why Go is designed to make that a terrible idea. First, privacy. It's a privacy nightmare.
Okay.
When you use a shared account, those 4 other people, they can see your chat history.
Yeah, that's a hard no for me. I put some weird stuff into ChatGPT. Not bad weird, just personal. Drafts of sensitive emails, medical questions, code from work.
Imagine pasting confidential code from your job into that shared account. Some random user can just scroll up and see it. It's a massive data leak waiting to happen. Go gives you a private silo for $8.
But there's a technical reason it sucks too, right? It goes back to that memory feature.
Yes. The confused AI problem. Mm-hmm. This is fascinating. So the model builds a profile of you. But in a shared account, 5 different people are feeding it 5 completely different lies.
So user A tells it, I'm a vegan, never show me meat recipes.
And then user B logs in an hour later and says, I'm a paleo bodybuilder, give me a steak recipe.
And user C is a 12-year-old asking for homework help. The AI is trying to reconcile all of that into one memory profile.
It becomes completely schizophrenic. It can't help anyone effectively. Because its context is just polluted. It's broken.
It's like having a butler who serves 5 families and keeps bringing you someone else's mail.
That's a great way to put it. The $8 Go plan is the answer. It's cheap enough to stop you from risking the gray market, but it guarantees the AI's memory is actually yours.
It's a clean slate, a usable product.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've broken it all down. The features, the ads, the gray market. Let's get to the verdict. Who is this for? If you're listening, how do you know if you should upgrade from free or downgrade from plus?
I think we can identify 3 clear power personas for this. First and foremost, students.
Undergrads.
Absolutely. For 95% of college work summaries, brainstorming, grammar checks, the GPT-40 mini model is more than enough. You do not need the deep reasoning of 01 to write a response paper for History 101.
It's overkill. $8 fits a student budget.
Second group, the language learners. We touched on it, but the value is just undeniable. If you want to learn a language, this is probably the cheapest, most effective tool on the market right now.
And the third?
I'd call them the text-based creators.
Ooh, oh, so.
Bloggers, copywriters, email marketers, junior developers. If your main output is text or pretty basic code, and you don't need heavy image or video stuff, this is the sweet spot.
And who should stay away? Who really needs to keep paying that $20 tax?
The deep thinkers and the visual creators. If you're a data scientist, a physicist, a senior software engineer, you need the reasoning capabilities of the Plus plan. Go will just feel shallow to you.
And if you want Sora for video, you have to pay the premium.
No question.
So if you're trying to cure cancer, pay the $20. If you're trying to write a cover letter, pay the $8.
That's the bumper sticker.
This feels like a shift. A maturation of the industry. AI isn't just a shiny toy anymore.
It's becoming a utility. And that's exactly what this pricing reflects. We're moving from the early adopter phase, where people pay a premium for magic, to the mass market phase, where people pay a small fee for usefulness.
But that usefulness comes with a price tag on our attention. And I want to leave everyone listening with this thought. We've accepted ads in our movies. We've accepted them in our music, in our social feeds. And now we are being asked to accept ads in our intelligence.
It really changes the relationship with knowledge, doesn't it?
It does. When the machine that tells you the truth is also trying to sell you a hotel room, you have to ask yourself, is $8 a bargain? Or is it just the entry fee to a shopping mall that's disguised as a library?
That's the question we are all about to find out the answer to.
Thanks for deep diving with us. Let us know what you think. We'll catch you in the next one.